Thanks once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another column from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Full details are at offbeatoregon.com. Check it out. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of Oregon City's steepest street. It's also America's steepest street. In fact, it's the steepest street in the world. It runs straight up the side of a cliff. This story was first published on October 10th, 2010, under the headline, Oregon City is the Home of America's Steepest Street. Here we go. In the record books, you'll find a street in Pittsburgh listed as the steepest in the U.S. It slopes upward at 18.5 degrees, which is a 35% grade. Well, the record books are wrong, because the steepest street in the U.S., and indeed in the world, is Elevator Street in Oregon City, with a grade of, 90 degrees. It may share the honor with some other vertical streets, but it's an ironclad guarantee that no other street in the world is steeper. The laws of physics are funny that way. Elevator Street is officially mapped and platted and is 130 feet long. It runs straight up the side of a cliff, and during the height of the tourist season, as many as 1,300 people use it every day. To do that, they have to ride the only municipal elevator in the country. Here's the story of how that elevator came to be. In the mid-1800s, Oregon City was originally settled on a narrow shelf of land just downstream from Willamette Falls. On the west was the river, smooth and lazy and very deep after its mad rush down the falls, oozing toward Portland and the sea. On the east, just a few dozen yards away, was a sheer rock wall about 100 feet high. Well, it wasn't long before the settlement got too big for that shelf above the river, and people started settling at the top of the bluff. This was fine as long as a person was okay with taking a long, steep, slippery pathway down and back up again every time he or she wanted to come to the business district. Later on, sets of stairs were built to make things easier, and one guesses they did, but at more than 700 steps, they were quite literally not for the faint of heart. One could go around the cliffs to the south, but that involved hitching up the buggy. It was a problem. By 1912, it was a major problem, and the city decided it was going to do something about it. It presented the residents with a ballot measure to build an elevator at the bluff. This was shot down at first, but passed 6 months later. Then the trouble really started. Most everyone agreed that the city needed an elevator somewhere, but most everyone also thought that it should not be near his or her house. And by this time, wealthy families had staked out the prime real estate on the top of the bluffs, with a gorgeous view of the city, high enough above the railroad tracks not to be too noisy. Well, these folks were especially adamant. You're not ruining my view with that thing. Finally, the city had to force the issue through the Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court, that is. Well, in late 1915, the elevator was ready to go. It was a big steel and wood affair, and it was actually powered by water pressure supplied by the municipal water system. Quite why they did this in one of the very first cities to ever have electric service, I have no idea. But that's what they did, and it took 200,000 gallons of water to move the elevator from the bottom to the top. Every time the elevator started up the shaft, water pressure in the surrounding houses would drop substantially. Also, it took the elevator as much as 4 swaying, jerky minutes to crawl up the bluff. That's 4 to 6 inches per second, about a third as fast as a guy climbing a ladder. At the top, there was a 35-foot catwalk to cross 90 feet above the railroad tracks before the traveler was back on solid ground. Nor was the thing particularly reliable. For those days when the elevator decided to stop moving halfway up, there was a handy trapdoor for folks to climb out of and a narrow ladder that would take passengers down to safety. Well, despite these drawbacks, Oregon City was very proud of the thing. On its opening day, pretty much the whole city, population at the time just over 4,000 people, came out to take a ride. Still, it didn't really become popular until 1924 when the city finally did electrify it. This brought the commute time from bottom to top down to 30 seconds, and they were much less dramatic seconds at that. Well, the elevator you see in Oregon City today was designed in 1954. The old one was starting to break down too much, and ridership was dropping fast. Seeking something cheap, the city specified something plain and unadorned, but clearly they also wanted it to be sleek and modern. The low bid came in at $116,000, and the next year the new structure was unveiled. It's staffed with an elevator operator and takes 15 seconds to cover the distance from the bottom to the top. And yes, it's still free to ride. As far as I've been able to learn, no one has ever gotten stuck in it. But for those who don't want to take any chances, there's a nice set of permanent cement stairs leading up the bluff next to the elevator. There are 197 of them. That's a big improvement on the 700 or so that the pioneers had to deal with going up and down and around obstacles, but it's still a lot. That elevator also is a gorgeous piece of mid-century modern architecture, that kind of minimalist kind of thing. It spent most of the 60s and 70s and probably the 80s being thought of as an ugly eyesore, but that architectural style is starting to be more appreciated these days. That's it for today's episode. If you're listening for the first time and want more information about Offbeat Oregon, you can get everything at our central website, the anchor page, at offbeatoregon.com. You'll find about 175 columns going back to 2008 when I first started doing these, plus links to the audio and text feeds via RSS and iTunes, also the Facebook page and the Twitter feed links. There's also even a link to the Amazon page for my book, Wicked Portland, the Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, which actually came out this month. You should check it out if you haven't seen it. The website is also where you'll find full citations to sources for this story, which include works by Ralph Friedman and Deanna Hart. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, written by Carmen Ficarra. All these columns are covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Details at offbeatoregon.com/cc. You coming to Corvallis anytime soon? Drop me a line. I'd love to get together with you and have a cup of coffee. I love geeking out with fellow history buffs. I'm at Finn at offbeatoregon.com, or if you drew Twitter, at offbeatoregon. Well, that's it for today. So thanks for listening, and have a great day.